Shalom Aleichem to all who are tuning in to the Interpreter's Pulpit podcast. This is Les Aaron Gosling teaching nothing new, but all things original. A messianic voice crying, "In the religious wilderness prepare the way for the Lord Yehovah. Make a beaten path, a smooth and straight highway. Clear the road for our God's soon advent." We have all been exposed all our lives to lies and to liars. If we are faithful believers in the living God Yehovah, the true God, or are unbelieving believers or just plain agnostics, we have spent our entire lives trying to work out who we think is telling the truth about things and who is decidedly not. Yet here we are in 2024, and we have been through a most devastating time period. Some of us have come out of that darkness struggling with an entirely new view of the world in which we find ourselves, along with a more profound grasp of personal discernment of exactly who we ourselves are. With the official conclusion to the so-called COVID pandemic, some would better assess it as a plandemic, many of us feel like we've been liberated from a mental concentration camp. I want to talk today about lies. Now, I could talk about a series of associated lies and cover-ups and distortions promulgated by and through the media involving PCR tests, social distancing issues, school, church, business closures, imperative mask wearing, false COVID statistics, vaccines, vaccine shedding, the muzzling of doctors and nurses who want to share the truth about protective alternative health methods. Oh, I could discuss all these issues and much, much more, but in this podcast, I want to concentrate on the religious lies that are circulating in our churches today. But as I do for those of us who have surrendered to the Messiah as our life-affirming Savior, I want to remind everyone that Pauline theology insists and actually demands our attentiveness to the awesome fact that Mashiach not only died for our sins, but that he has qualified in sinless character to take the reins of government, to take the reins of power over this present world system, and not just for himself, but in order to impute to us, to apply to us right now this minute, all that which may well be entirely missing in our own feeble, frail, debile, decrepit, and sapless attempts to have our nature changed for the better. What salvific love is this? What manner of grace is this? Messiah lived out his entire life for his brothers and sisters who trust in and obey him, indeed for all God's authentic children everywhere. Now I believe in the Spirit, the feminized Ruach of God, who inspired the Bible to be written. It is vitally important that we get a firm grip textually on its contents, for they do explicitly offer a way out of the mess we find ourselves in, and which Hasatan, the Dark Lord, has imposed on global civilization through the instruments and the instrumentality of his evil stooges. Satan's agents are not simply well-meaning and deceived. No, 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 no. Most of them are outright liars and pimps in the pulpits. The so-called New Testament scriptures, or Messianic Scriptures, or New Covenant Scriptures, which they ought to be more properly designated, are not just a window into the variety of anticipated abundant theologies concerning Messiah which abounded in the Second Temple period, but it remains a document stressing the absolute necessity of exercised faith, not just faith, but exercised faith toward our Lord Yehovah and his Messiah Yeshua, as the days of impending satanic delusion gradually become identified in more extreme ways in our society. Living at the end of the age means that if we want to survive, it is imperative that we stop and redefine our reality, that we learn once and for all to become more critical in our thinking and thus break with our preconditioned religious ties with theological post-Reformation thought, and to return joyously, yes, joyously, to the long-lost first-century Jewish thought form of the mid to late Second Temple period. Believe me when I say, as I have for over four decades, that we need to restore Jerusalem, to the Jewish messianic scriptures, as Athens and the Greek thinking galvanized within its pages has by now been done to death. It's high time to return to a restored Jewish thought form which the Ruach of God originally utilized to codify the Bible. Restoration of that neglected Second Temple period has been my personal pursuit for well over 40 long-endured years of this ministry of the IMCF. The patently obvious truth that a spirit of delusion is growing at an incredible rate has been the way some of us have almost welcomed the spirit of a lying Antichrist system well in advance of the future personal appearance of that diabolical satanic entity. Indeed, ever since the assassination of President John Fitzgerald Kennedy on November 22, 1963, this zeitgeist has boldly spread its lies of deception in an intense manner, particularly through those who would bring about a world federal state as the means of solving the mounting unprecedented problems of the world. A future world federal state has been in the planning stages for centuries. While it's been a rather long journey from then to now, globalists have enlisted an enthusiastic Western media to lie on innumerable levels and has successfully joined forces with the international pharmaceutical industry called by the term pharmakeia in the apocalypse, with its intent to, quote, deceive the entirety of the world, unquote, Revelation 18:23. What? What lies have we been beset by? What lies could possibly enslave us to the hidden agenda of the Dark Lord? I'll cover some of this in future podcasts, so stay tuned. But as far as churchianity is concerned, now please note I said churchianity, not Christianity. What about our priests, ministers, elders of the church today? Have we been lied to from the pulpits of modern churches? The prophet Isaiah has something to share with us all today. If you turn to Isaiah 30 and verse 8, we read this: "Now go, write it before them in a tablet, note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come," or in the Hebrew, the latter days. If there is one great scriptural truth that has been ignored perhaps more than any other, it is this: Elijah must first come before the advent of Yeshua. Elijah comes to herald the redemption of Israel. It seems that Christians await the appearance of Antichrist and, quote-unquote, Jesus, with regret in an orgy of eagerness in that order, and Elijah fails to even get a scant mention. Rare indeed it is when a Bible expositor makes mention of an end-time appearance of the anticipated great prophet. This is, of course, in marked contradistinction to the synagogues and all that's involved in their expectation of Elijah. At the Passover Seder, an extra seat is made available with a glass of sacramental wine filled to its brim. Each stage of the wine-making process, from the picking of the grapes to the bottling of the wine, is performed under strict, well, ultra-strict, rabbinic supervision to assure rigid standards of purity at the dinner table for Elijah. Jewish children await with excitement throughout the Seder for the possibility of a knock at the door. There are Jewish homes in which the door is purposely left open during the Seder, and that depends, of course, on the neighborhoods in which the Jewish families are found, for Elijah to enter if he happens to be passing by. It's real to Jews, you see. But most Christians have never heard of such a thing as this. Now, we who are students of the biblical revelation are well aware that Yohanan the Immerser, John the Baptist, if you wish, was the fulfillment of the Elijah expectation prior to Mashiach's first coming. The Lord Yeshua said this was the case in Matthew 11:14 and Matthew 17:12. But in Matthew 17:11, he adds that Elijah truly must first come and restore all things. Yeshua admitted, in effect, that there would be yet another expectation of the prophet Elijah. And, of course, this is precisely what is determined to be the case in the prophets, especially Malachi. Revelation probably mentions Elijah as one of the two witnesses, and he's certainly hinted at in other prophetical books as well. In the Malachi tradition, in Matthew 17:11, Yeshua stated the end-time Elijah would restore all things, because, you see, John the Baptist, Yohanan the Immerser, restored nothing. It will be this precise ministry of the prophet Elijah that will usher in the prophesied times of restitution of all things, mentioned as a catalyst for the future repentance of Israel and accepting Yeshua as their Messiah. Acts 3:21. There can be little doubt that when Elijah returns, he will have an uncanny grasp of biblical matters, Torah-related solutions to previous puzzling legal factors, as well as providing answers to existing social and diaspora problems. The Talmud is replete with prospects concerning Elijah. Now, I've been stating publicly for many years that this work of the INCF is vitally important for a number of reasons, not the least of which is that I fully expect our restoration work to influence the coming Elijah. I personally believe that Eliyahu is alive now. There is a reason why I believe this to be the case. The reason involves and revolves around the specialized calling of this ministry. And in what are we involved up to our eyelids? Firstly, nothing less than the restoration of largely lost 1st century CE Jewish thought form to the biblical revelation. It was Isaiah himself who lamented the lack of interest to restore the word of God and God's righteous intentions. If you turn to Isaiah 42, through 18 through 22, have a good look at verse 22. It says, "None says restore." Isaiah then sees the hand of God move and asks with longing, "Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come?" The time to come, which is mentioned in Isaiah 42, verse 23, is the Messianic age and the birth pangs, or the birthing contractions, as prelude to it. There can be no restoration if something has not already been lost. Much has already been lost, and the rest of God's precious word and truth is on the verge of dying if we believe Revelation 3 and verse 2. As it is written, "Be watchful, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God." Secondly, we are engaged in raising up the holy sparks. And this certainly includes identifying Jewish people who may have lost their original identities centuries ago, especially in the Roman Catholic Inquisition period. Many had to resort to adopting Gentile names as well as inculcating Gentile practices in their daily lives for their very survival. Nevertheless, some of the names they adopted were indicative of specific Jewish elements that would be grasped and acknowledged by other Jews. We are engaged in the restoring of biblical history and ancient history, reviving a proper emphasis on the prophets, returning doctrine to its fundamentally Jewish root system, and reawakening an appreciation of humanity to the lost Jewish Messiah, Yeshua. And so, welcome, listeners, to this no-frills podcast of the Interpreter's Pulpit 101. If you would like to stand in faith with us on the shores of endless worlds in the IMCF, the International Messianic Community of Faith, and would desire to know more about the truth of the biblical revelation, go to our homepage on our website, send your gift by depressing the secure Donate Now pinned payment icon and become a member today. You will receive a username and password which will grant you membership with access to all our accumulation of biblical material of over 40 plus years of this ministry. It is high time to restore all things, and we thank you for allowing us to serve you in this manner. This is Les Aaron Gosling saying, Kol Tov, to all who love the Lord Yeshua.